Good morning. Good to be here together this morning to once again worship together. Marion, you have the intimations.
Good morning, everyone. I'm not tall enough. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. Church groups, the Cycle Club, have an outing next Saturday, 23rd of August. The Walking Group will be going out on Sunday, the 31st of August. Note that that's a change of date. And there will be a coffee morning on Saturday, the 6th of September. If you're able to help at the coffee morning, there are sheets outside for you to add your name to. There's also another intimation. Sal and Church are having a charity barbecue next Sunday, on the 24th of August, at 1:30 p.m. It's £10 per person, and there's a sheet for you to add your name to it if you wish to go. And now, a quick look at the order of service for those on Zoom. Thank
you. So if you're expecting Norman this morning, sorry to disappoint you. Lime Kilns changed their service to 11 o'clock this morning, part of the 200th celebration, so Norman obviously can't be in two places at one time, so he's down there, and we're here. The Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. So let's sing our first hymn this morning. It's a in hymn book, it's 122, it's Let All the World in Every Corner Sing. Thanksgiving for your goodness, we offer you our gifts and pray for the power to offer and present our very selves to you, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for your acceptance, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let us now pray once more, and our prayer of praise is a prayer by Francis of Assisi. So let's pray. Holy, holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come. We want to praise and glorify you forever. You are worthy, Lord our God, to receive praise and glory, honour and blessing. We want to praise and glorify you forever. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive divine power, wisdom and strength, honour, glory and blessing. We want to praise and glorify you forever. Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. We want to praise and glorify you forever. Praise our God, all you his servants. Honour him, you who fear God, small and great. Let heaven and earth praise your glory. All creatures in heaven, on earth and under the earth, the sea and everything in it. We want to praise and glorify you forever. Heavenly Father, as we come with our praise, we also come with our confession. O Lord, forgive us our sins. Forgive us the sins of our past and the sins of the present. Our secret and whispering sins. Our sins we rationalise and the sins we genuinely cry over. The sins we have done to please ourselves and the sins we have done to please others, yet all displeasing to you. Forgive us those sins we know and those sins we have committed without realising. O Lord, forgive them. Forgive them all out of your great goodness. And hear us now in the silence of this moment as we bring them before you. Father, as we now share in the activity of worship, cleanse our hearts and minds. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and open our lips to show forth your praise. And hear us now as we join in prayer together, as we say these words of prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now come to our next hymn, it say. Number 503 in the hymn book. I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. Do we all know this one? Mm-hmm. Oh, well. We should know. It's a good tune. I speak to our technical director. Can you show up the chorus? No. Yes. It's fairly straightforward. The chorus is this. There's a couple of pauses in the chorus. The second last line and the last line. So we've got, well, my words cannot tell, pause. But only in part, pause. Of the debt of love that is owed, pause. For this thankful heart. To pick up this, we'll be singing the verse twice, so you'll get two chances. I once a while ago, I took a service the first time in a wee church. I know it was a new post I got, and it was the first time I'd been there at this particular church, and I announced this hymn. Kind of fairly modern hymn, and there's a centre aisle, and as they're announcing this hymn, a man from the back pew came walking down the centre aisle, and what's he wanting? And he comes up and says, we don't know that one, can we get another one? No. Let's sing, well, I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. Into Hebrews chapter 11, we were last week, but further on the chapter and then into chapter 12. So think about about people of faith, not just in the past, but obviously ourselves too. What about also about God's presence? The heart of the Christian faith is not a set of not a set of beliefs, although obviously that's part of it. To know who and who we believe in, what we believe. It's not about a lifestyle, although it's part of that too. As Jesus welcomes us, he says, you know, come as you are, but he doesn't want us to stay as we are. And so obviously that affects our lifestyle. It's not even about heaven when we die, although it's part of that as well. It's about eternal life. It's also about eternal life starting in this life and how it affects this life. Part of the heart of the Christian faith is a living relationship with a loving God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can know and experience Him, His presence. Have you ever felt God's presence in a particular way? Perhaps in a church setting, or even just by yourself? Maybe out looking in a lovely, like a day-to-day, a nice pastoral scene, and suddenly maybe tears start flowing in your eyes for no apparent reason. Or driving along in the car and listening to your favourite hymn, and just something just hits you. I know music can bring up emotions, but something totally different. Maybe a peaceful feeling, a warm feeling, maybe something more powerful, or just a gentle feeling. It's important to remember that whether we feel anything or not, we can still enjoy His presence. Remember, our faith is in the facts, not in the feelings, and our feelings, because our feelings can change. But sometimes God does encourage us by touching us, maybe physically, maybe bringing someone alongside us, or indeed emotionally. We don't need an exciting church service such as this. Yes, I'm doing my best here. Maybe more seriously, but if I'm not excited about coming to church, then nobody else will either. Maybe something wrong. But we don't need even a special song, although music can, you know, for example, in the context of a service, a lively hymn to something more quieter, no, it can certainly create a sense of that. But we can't engineer His presence as such, as something just comes. Maybe we could do something together just now. And don't say the extension, what's he going to get us to do? It's quite simple. Close your eyes in the quiet, enjoy God's presence here amongst us. You may find it helpful in your mind's eye to picture Jesus standing before you, his arms open to welcome you. Think of the words of the psalmist. I've asked the Lord for one thing only do I want, to live in the Lord's house all my life, to marvel there at his goodness, and to ask for his guidance. Lord, we lay aside all other needs and desires in order to seek one thing, to dwell with you and to see your beauty. We desire only you. By your Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see you now. Amen. Open our eyes. What does the Bible say about God's presence? Probably quite a few things. Think of when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. He said, for where two or three come together in my name, I am there with them. So God promises to be present at even the most poorly attended service. You may be thinking, sitting here thinking, well, I don't know what the seating capacity is, but you may be sitting thinking, where is everybody? Well, God's not interested in numbers. He's interested in people who will welcome him. Again, Jesus appears to his disciples and says, I will be with you to the end of the age. And wherever we go, for the sake of the gospel, no matter how difficult or isolating, the promise of Jesus is to be with us. And John, in his first letter, reminds us that God is love. We are sure that we live in union with God and that he lives in union with us because he has given us his Spirit. How do we know that he's with us? Because his Spirit dwells in us. As a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, the living God. There's a heartfelt, thirsty cry for the Lord's presence. And only if we were more thirsty for him. And from Psalm 139, reminds of God's complete knowledge and care. The psalmist writes, where could I escape from you? Where could I go? It's not the cry of someone desperate to escape from God, but it's a picture of the assurance we can have of knowing that wherever we are, however high or low we may be, from the heights of euphoria to the depths of despair, and depression, because not only there, he's holding us fast. Peter Marshall, went to America, became a Presbyterian minister early 20th century. Peter Marshall wrote, if God does not enter your kitchen, there's something wrong with your kitchen. If you can't take God into your recreation, there is something wrong with your play. We all believe in the God of the heroic. What we need most these days is the God of the humdrum, the commonplace, the everyday. So perhaps we need to practice the presence of God. And if God is always with us by his Spirit within us, we can know his presence in every occasion. What practical ways can we invite God into our home, our workplace, our school, our place of recreation, especially if there's pressure and difficulty? And some people have scripture verses stuck on their fridge doors, or maybe a key fob or a wristband, to remind them of God's promises and His presence. So whether you do that or not, then think, how can I remind myself of God's presence, God's constant presence? So we come to now our scripture readings, and Irene is going to read for us this morning.
The first reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29, and it follows on to chapter 12. By the faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By the faith of the walls of Jericho fell after people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who had been disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle, routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put into prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered into the deserts and the mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin so that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance and the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfection of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May God bless these readings from his holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Irene. We come to our next sermon. I'm not even going to ask if you know this, so I'm just going to go for it. 5, 6, 7, focus my eyes on you, Lord. Focus my eyes.
Thank you.
Do you want me to say that again? A second last line, you should have said, to speak of your love in every place. I wasn't switched. I'm sure we all know the saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So what does keep you going when the going gets tough in your life of faith? I don't know if I've told you this one before, but I'll tell you it again. Dave was a lorry driver, and every week he would haul his goods from Lerwick to London, a huge, big, articulated lorry. And on the way there and back, a few stops obviously, but one of his favourite stop actually was Joe's Diner. He always stopped there, up and down. So this day, he pulled off the motorway, it was time for his break, and he pulled into Joe's Diner, into the big parking area there. He walked into the diner, sat in his favourite seat, which was always the third stool along the counter, like to sit at the counter, and ordered his usual pie, beans and mashed potatoes and a big mug of tea. So he was sitting there and just been served to him. He was sitting there and heard this distant roar, and soon he's a gang of 12 motorcyclists came in, big Harley Davidson bikes, quite a sight as they pulled in and parked up in the car park. So they trooped into the diner, and the leader spotted him right away, Dave sitting at the counter. "Who is this?" says he then. Dave just remained silent and ate his lunch. Another one came around, other gang members came in and snapping their fingers. I wouldn't get in the gang, because I started. Dave just kept on eating. And one of them picked up his mug of tea, which thankfully it's cooled down quite a bit by now, and poured it over Dave's head. He said, "Told you." So Dave picked up his napkin and dried his face. Another one took a scoop of his mashed potatoes and rubbed it all over his jacket. Dave just remained quite calm and continued eating his lunch. So they continued to harass him while he was eating it, and finished his meal, paid Joe and left the diner. And the gang with the turns to Joe and says, "What a wimp, he ain't much of a man." And Joe was looking out the window, says, "Well, he wasn't much of a driver either, he just ran over 12 motorbikes." When Jesus came as the Messiah, he wasn't at all what people expected, and many called him a wimp. He ain't much of a man. Call himself the Messiah. But Jesus never uttered a word. He took all the abuse that was going. He was ridiculed. The devil was out to destroy him. And Jesus never opened his mouth. He accepted it all. But yet on that cross, he crushed Satan beneath his feet. And that's what Calvary was about, so that we can all say, "Jesus, what a man." Faith is fundamental to being a Christian, and faith depends on Jesus from beginning to end. This passage in Hebrews provides us an example, a source of strength and encouragement, as well as a reminder that God guides us. So to take some examples, the final 40 years of Moses' life was spent leading the Israelites through the desert. Moses' place as a leader was taken by Joshua, who brought the people of Israel into the promised land. Jericho was the first great obstacle to the conquest of the land, and was captured by faith without a battle. The prostitute Rahab's faith is commended which he demonstrated by helping the spies which Joshua sent to Jericho. Familiar figures in Israel's history are mentioned, including an allusion to Daniel shutting the mouths of lions, along with his friends Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. They put out fierce fires. Women such as the widow of Zarephath and the Shunammite women both received their sons back to life. Others were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Men like Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who were stoned to death for declaring the truth. Those who were sawn in two, like Isaiah, who, according to tradition, met this kind of death under the wicked king Manasseh of Judah. There were many more heroes of faith before the coming of Christ, and much more could be written of them. Only a small sampling is given, representing all types of men and women of faith. But the descriptions can apply also to countless believers since Christ came, those known and unknown who demonstrated their faith in God by persevering in the face of harsh trials and difficulties. Those whose weaknesses were turned to strength through God's help. And the great quality which these believers had in common both before and since Christ was that of overcoming through faith. In answer to faith, God has given men and women remarkable triumphs and victories, but not always. Faith is demonstrated equally through those who have endured imprisonment, torture, and death. Not all the heroes of the faith experienced immediate triumph over their circumstances, but they were all blessed by God. For God had planned something better. The fulfillment for them, as for us, is in Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. God planned to include us along with them, those who came before us, to save and perfect every one of his people through Christ. Only together with us would they be made perfect. All persons of faith who lived before Christ focused their faith on God and his promises. The fulfillment of God's promises to them came in Jesus Christ, and their redemption is now complete in him. We as Christians have an advantage over these great Old Testament figures of faith. They trusted in the great promises of God, but did not receive them. We as Christians have the advantage of knowing that the promises have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and of receiving the benefits of these promises. All the Old Testament promises to Abraham, to Moses, David and so on came together in Jesus Christ. All the promises of God are confirmed in him. The promised word became flesh. You may think these events of the past are exactly that, past history, or that only the early Christians were persecuted. Well, thank God you're not. Many today are imprisoned, tortured, killed. And it has been said that there were more Christian martyrs in the 20th century than in the previous 19. Following Jesus does not equate to a cosy, comfortable Christianity. Remember when I was at Bible college, and one of our lecturers would say to us, I think he pinched this from Billy Graham, never mind. He said, remember, it's not a playground out there, it's a battleground. And remember also at one of our staff conferences, one of our sessions, the speaker was saying, if you're not doing your job, if you're not experiencing opposition, you're not doing your job right. When conflict comes, we need to take courage and stand knowing that God stands with us. And at times like that, remember your calling. Gladys Aylward, missionary to China, said, "If God has called you to China or any other place, and you are sure in your own heart, let nothing deter you. Remember, it is God who has called you, and it is the same as when he called Moses or Samuel." The community for which Hebrews was written is believed to have faced serious persecution. And concerned that people would turn away from the Christian faith, the writer encourages them to hold fast, to remember the faithful who have gone before, the crowd of witnesses. The spectators cheer us on as we run the life of faith. The imagery suggests an athletic event in a great amphitheatre. And the witnesses are the great heroes of the past who have just been mentioned. But they're not merely spectators, they are also inspiring examples. These witnesses bear testimony to the power of faith and to God's faithfulness. As we at times struggle forward in the race of life, these heroes of faith should encourage us by their achievements. The devil tries to prevent us from living faithfully for Christ. He may use unfair treatment from others or some tempting desires to get us thinking more about ourselves and our needs than of obeying God. To overcome Satan's strategy, it helps to know that other believers have faced similar circumstances and have finished the race. Don't get sidetracked as you live the Christian life. Keep going for the goal. We who run are to set aside anything that holds us back, including sin. What distracts you from moving forward in faith? Run with perseverance. In ancient times, the prize was a perishable wreath. Our prize is an imperishable crown. In the Christian life, there can be many hindrances to running the race. Like some of the Hebrew Christians, we can be tempted to drop out of the race, drop out of the contest because of opposition or persecution. The Christian life is pictured as a long distance race rather than a short sprint, hence the need to persevere. We finish the race by keeping the faith, carefully observing the rules or teachings of the Christian faith, the Christian truths which have been entrusted to us to guard and to keep safe and pass on to the next generation. Run then so that on the day of Christ you may boast, not out of pride or self-achievement, but boast of what God has done through you. And this is not a solo run. The church, the community of the faithful, journey together, not in competition, but in collaboration and encouragement. We run fixing our eyes on Jesus. Just as the runner concentrates on the finishing line, we should concentrate on Jesus, the goal and object of our faith. Our faith, which has its beginning in him, is also completed in him. He is both the start and the end of the race. He is also the supreme witness who has run the race and won. He did not give up because of the cross. He has accomplished our eternal redemption and his glorification at the right hand of the Father. Christ is actively ruling with God as Lord over all. As with Christ, the humiliation of any suffering for the gospel's sake which we go through is far outweighed by the prospect of eternal glory. Seen in the perspective of eternity, the Christian difficulties, whatever they may be, diminish in importance. By comparison, the eternal glory is far greater than all the suffering we may experience in this life. In God's appointed time, just as Christ suffered and entered into glory, so all his people, after their suffering, will participate in his future glory. so many challenges to our faithfulness. What kind of race are you running? Solo, just going it alone. Really, passing on the baton to others. First past the post, get out the road, I'm coming through. Or is it, importantly, quite simply, hoping to finish well? Be encouraged and reminded that others have gone before us, and remember that our loving, gracious, and merciful God has sustained them too. Richard Wurmbrand, who was imprisoned for 14 years in communist Romania in the 1950s and 60s, said this: "The essence of the Christian religion is not winning, but daring. Jesus is the way, not only the prize." Stick with Jesus. We may stumble, but never ultimately fail. He did not give up when the going got tough, and neither should we. Let us throw off everything that hinders and run with perseverance. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Amen. So let's sing again. Let's sing "May the Mind of Christ My Saviour" in 536. Let's come before God once more in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you our thanks and our praise. We thank you that you are always with us. Thank you that we have access to you, not through pious living or religious ceremony, but through Jesus. His blood shed for us is enough to bring us into your very throne room. We can experience your presence not just here in a church service, but in our home and everywhere. Not only do we desire to have a fellowship with you, But you desire to have fellowship with us. Lord, thank you for the gift of your presence. Thank you that it can't be earned or worked up. It's a result of your promise and of your gift of the Holy Spirit in every believer. Draw us again and again to be still and to enjoy your wonderful presence in every aspect of our lives. We think now of others and bring before you our parliaments and assemblies in Holyrood, Stormont, Cardiff and Westminster. Lord Jesus, we pray for an effective and gracious Christian presence and influence in political debate. Strengthen those you have placed in the corridors of power to wisely live and speak biblical truth, allowing the truth of human flourishing to be attentively listened to and courageously acted upon. We pray that the United Kingdom might begin to look that little bit more like your kingdom, and that the people of our nation might turn their eyes towards you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being the giver of life and provider of living water to all who trust in you. We bring before you Christian communities around the world for whom it is a daily struggle to find water to sustain life and have no reliable water source. We ask you to bless and direct efforts to install bore wells and to make any structural changes necessary to improve water supplies. Thank you that you experienced the anguish of human thirst on the cross for us, and that we can trust in you to provide. Heavenly Father, we pray for the many humanitarian initiatives in our world, for humanitarian aid workers providing essential assistance to individuals and communities affected by natural disasters, conflict, poverty, and other emergencies. We ask you to guide and provide for Christian and other aid agencies that respond to crises, alleviate extreme poverty, and work towards a better future, especially in partnership with local churches. We continue to pray for Ukraine following the talks between Presidents Trump and Putin. May the so-called positive talks result in Putin withdrawing his armed forces and stopping the war he started. As we commemorate the end of the Second World War 80 years ago, may all of us, including world leaders, remember not least the horrors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and work to ensure that the use of nuclear weapons never happens again. God, there are many people who do not look at a newspaper, TV news, internet, or listen to radio news as they feel overwhelmed and depressed by all this that is happening in our world. We remember these words from Isaiah, "Do not be afraid, I will save you. I've called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you." We pray for those in special need who fear this changing world and their own personal situation. Lord, deliver them from the fear of an unknown future, from fear of failure, from fear of poverty, from fear of sickness and pain, from fear of age, and from fear of death. Father, help them by your grace to love and fear only you. Fill their hearts with courage and loving trust in you. So in the silence we bring you now our own personal prayers for those in need of your love and care at this time. Father, hear our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. So here's hoping we know this one and we know the tune. We'll try Onward Christian Soldiers, 5 and 4 in that book. Be near to defend you, within you to refresh you, around you to preserve you, before you to guide you, behind you to justify you, above you to bless you. The Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, God for evermore.